I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lacey.
And this is United States of Murder's very own
Wacky Wednesday. Instead of a normal, lighter Wacky Wednesday case, I'm basically just doing a bonus Oklahoma case.
Oh, gosh.
Since we've already been there this season, and I didn't want to wait because it's kind of timely. It kind of needs some attention right now. It's actually not technically a case, but you'll understand once I
have no idea
start talking about it. So Amanda Harms, who was called Mandy by family and friends, was born on January 14th, 1978 in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Have you been there before?
I have.
It's not too far from here, like 3.5-ish
hours. It's not. I went there into Tahlequah. I don't remember why I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All I remember is going to the skating rink.
Oh, yeah. She married Eric Harms, and the two moved to Illinois, where Mandy worked while attending college at Western Illinois University. Mandy obtained her bachelor's degree in education. She continued her education while working as a math teacher and ultimately earned a master's degree in education. Mandy taught in the Illinois school system for 22 years, during which time she also served a term as the president of the school board union for the Sherrard School District. Mandy was passionate about teaching and helping her students. She would often stay late or come early to tutor students. She had recently moved back to Muskogee, Oklahoma to be near her family and was teaching at Ben Franklin Academy. She adored her students and her students loved her, and she helped change lives through her teaching. Mandy also had 3 children, 2 girls and a boy, and 1 grandson who was the light of her life. She had a big, loving family, and she always loved spending time with them. She never gave them any trouble. According to her mother, on an interview with Jesse Weber, Mandy told her mom, Shelley, "Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you." Mandy had a great relationship with her mom, and she was the kind of daughter that didn't ask for anything. She was energetic, enjoyed playing games, and she loved spending time outdoors, fishing and swimming too. On January 13th, 2024, a month and a half-ish ago, the day before her birthday, Mandy left her warm house on a frigid day to walk to a local liquor store called Broadway Liquor. She had done this walk before, and she would go straight there and back and would go to her bedroom and drink. She struggled with alcohol addiction, and she was very ashamed of it. She was not a partier at all. She didn't even go to bars to drink. She would just drink alone in her bedroom.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That day, Mandy left her house at approximately 8:10 to 8:20 p.m., and made it to 35th and Broadway at 8:40 p.m. So she was pretty close to the liquor store, but not all the way there. CCTV footage shows what happens next. She was making her way up Broadway and flagged down a passing vehicle. She was standing in the road waving. At this point, she was probably freezing. Unlike the walk she had taken in the past, this one was different because it was 4 degrees outside.
Holy shit.
With the wind blowing at 25 miles per hour and a wind chill of negative 15 degrees. That's the week here. It was just...
That's brutal.
It was everywhere down in the south. Ugh. It was so cold, the snow and everything. It wasn't snowing yet there on this day, but it was that week where everything was just so brutally cold. And we can only speculate what happened after she got inside the vehicle. The man who picked her up was a stranger. At least her family and friends do not know him, and they don't think she did either. They weren't familiar with this guy. It is assumed that she asked him for a ride to the liquor store, which she was pretty close to at that point, and then probably for a ride back to her house. I'm sure she probably realized, like, I thought I could do this walk. I've done it a million times. But it's just too freaking cold. Or maybe she realized she didn't have her credit card with her.
Right.
And wanted a ride just straight back to her house. She's gone all that way. And the thought of just turning around, walking back home. She did not have her cell or her money with her, which was unusual. But her husband, Eric, found her credit card lying on the kitchen floor. So he thought She had the card, put it in her pocket of her jacket or something when she was putting on her gloves and stuff. It fell out. We do know that she never made it to Broadway Liquor that day, and her family never heard from her again. 2 days went by as Mandy's family and friends desperately searched for her. So I found out about this because I'm Facebook friends with someone who shared all of the posts while she was missing, and then it just nothing makes sense. It's one of those things. There's so many questions. But 2 days passed, and a man came forward to police and said he had her hat and gloves.
Did he find them?
This was the man who picked her up.
Oh.
Yeah. He said Mandy was cold, so he took her back to his house where it was warm.
No. No.
And yeah, exactly. Then a little while later, he said he left his house and went to a friend's place to take a shower because he didn't have hot water. So he had heat.
Mm-hmm.
His house was warm, but he didn't have hot water. So he left Mandy there at his house and went to his friend's house. He said he returned an hour and 20 minutes later and Mandy was gone. So my thought process is, if you just picked up a stranger and you brought her back to your house.
I'm not leaving you
why
there.
Why would you leave her, even if it's a woman?
No.
Why would you leave a stranger?
To take a shower?
I'm like, how dirty can you be? Mm-mm. Just right at that time?
At 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
No.
To me, that's like, why are you taking a shower? Did it need to be right then? Couldn't you have, like, I don't know, taken her to her house or somewhere warm? I don't know. He said his front door was unlocked when he got back, but it looked like Mandy left through his living room window. The screen was taken off the window, and the window was left open. In fact, all of the windows in the house were open.
What?
Yeah. She could have walked out the front door, according to him, but he thinks she left through a window. And it's frigid temperatures. There's no reason for the windows to be open even. So the blinds weren't damaged or anything. The window wasn't broken. He said that at this point he went looking for Mandy, but he couldn't find her. And the police took the clothes, like the hat, the gloves, the jacket. And from what I can gather, they did look through his home briefly, but it wasn't an in-depth search or anything. It was just a visual walkthrough to kind of be like, yeah, she was here and she went out this window. Bada bing, bada boom. It also appears as though Amanda went to one or more houses asking for help after she had left his house. In one case, we know for a fact she approached the nearby home of an elderly woman who lived there with her brother and nephew. The elderly woman was the only person home at the time when Amanda was outside of her door. She was asking for help because she was cold. The woman did not let her inside the house. Which I understand if there's someone, I totally understand to not let a stranger in your house, but she did not call police. I can't understand her logic. If it's freezing, below freezing temperatures, I have some woman knocking on my door asking for help because she's freezing. If I don't let her in, I'm going to call the cops. That's just going to be, but I don't know her thought process.
I do, but.
If anything, I'm going to be like, someone's trying to get me or something.
Did you call the police when that guy knocked on your door trying to sell you something? Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah, but Samuel talked to him.
Okay, he wasn't.
He's just a swindler in the area. But Samuel talked to him and got information and wrote down.
Yeah. I've not ever had anybody come to my door like that, so I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would just ignore them and be real still.
Well, especially when they're talking to you, asking for help. Like you see each other and they're normally when people are at my door, I run away.
Same.
I'm like, and I get on my ring.
Nope.
But anyway, 6 days after Mandy went missing, her body was discovered in the backyard across from the man's house, the backyard of the house that belonged to that elderly woman.
What? 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see her in the backyard for 6 days.
And I have been all over Google Maps. This house is in a neighborhood close to the street. The fence is right by the road.
Like your neighborhood.
Yeah, just as close, like, yeah.
Your backyard to the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the two men that also lived there are the people that found her. She was lying on her back, but her hand and a foot were in the fence. It was a chain link fence, 4 feet tall. And the fence does not continue around the whole house. There's a big portion in the front of the house where there's no fence. It just kind of goes around certain sides. And I can't say for sure that it wasn't locked, but on the maps, it just kind of has one of those latches and there's not a lock on it.
That's so weird.
I didn't see the whole fence, but she could have walked around and saw that, you know. So that's kind of strange. And she wasn't wearing her hat, her coat, or gloves. She left all that at the man's house. All of that. And one of her boots was beside her, and the other one was found by the man before he found her body. So she was not wearing shoes. She either took them off after the fact or never had them on in the first place after leaving his house. Maybe had them in his hands and left so quickly she didn't have time to put them on. Or maybe she took them off to climb the fence easier. We don't know for sure she climbed the fence, but her hand and foot were stuck in it. The area where she was located was well within view from the road. By the time she was found, there was some snow on her body, but not enough to cover her completely because that's when they found her. And the night she went missing, it was not snowing yet.
6 days, though, and it's a chain link fence by a road. No one saw her?
Allegedly, no one saw her. And the family didn't know where she was at this point. They didn't have the CCTV footage until after she was found. So they did not even know to drive by this area. But people definitely did. I can't understand how no one saw her.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I really don't know. Mandy had a bruised eye, a bruised nose, and a busted lip. She also had a cut on her eyelid. She had no signs of frostbite, and I've seen some of the photos of her postmortem, and her hands were definitely not frostbitten. Her fingernails are blue because it is, you know, but no frostbite on her hands, which is odd considering the temperatures. I was curious, so I looked up if frostbite could occur postmortem because I'm like, maybe it wouldn't happen. And I read that yes, in the sense that the cells would be damaged by the frigid temperature, but it wouldn't be exactly like frostbite on living tissue, but there still would be damage to the skin. After she was found, the police informed the family and stated that there was no foul play, and the family took their word for it until they saw her body. They were shocked at the state she was in. They were not expecting her to be bruised and cut. They were just thinking,
she's just going to look normal.
She's going to look deceased, obviously, but not like she's banged
been
up.
Yeah,
not like she's been in a fight or something. Mandy was wearing a Fitbit, and the family was able to obtain the data from that. Based on the information, there were zero footsteps taken after 10:30 p.m., but there's a heart rate until 3 a.m. Her heart rate was also pretty stable during this time, which is weird. For example, at 8, it was approximately 98 to 102 beats a minute. From 9:30 to 9:45, her heart rate was 93 to 99 beats a minute. And at 11:30 p.m., it shows that it was 83 to 85 beats a minute. Then again, at 1 a.m. the next morning, it was 72 to 82 beats per minute. But the police stated they did not believe she was alive after 11 p.m.
So maybe she was passed out, or for it to be steady, like a resting heart rate. You know what I mean? But that seems high for a resting heart rate.
Yeah, it's just odd.
Super odd.
There's a lot of variables to consider, but we know for sure it was 4 degrees outside that evening. Our normal body temperature is 98.6 degrees, but the body starts shutting down when it hits 95 degrees. One of the first signs of hypothermia is shivering as your body tries to produce heat, followed by slower breathing and heart rate in the second stage, along with confusion and sleepiness. Hypothermia often causes impaired cognition, which affects the ability to recognize what's wrong. So the hypothermia can get worse. It's terrifying thinking about hypothermia. I don't know. It's just...
This whole case is terrifying.
It can develop in as little as 5 minutes in temperatures of negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit if you're not dressed properly and you have exposed skin.
Wow.
Especially your scalp, hands, fingers, and face. And at 30 below zero, hypothermia can set in about 10 minutes. And we know Mandy was without her coat, gloves, hat, and her shoes were off, so she was majorly exposed. The final autopsy report won't be ready for another 4 to 5 months.
Oh, man.
So there are a lot of unknowns. For instance, they aren't sure if she even has any broken bones in her face or not, and they don't know for sure what was in her system. The police made a statement that her death wasn't a result of foul play before the autopsy even happened. So there's no way they could have known that for sure. It's like when they walk in and just assume something's a suicide, even though they
have no
evidence. Yeah, that's kind of what they did here. She did not drink the night before and didn't have any alcohol before she left to walk to the liquor store. That's why she was walking there. She did have a prescription for Xanax and would take that when she had withdrawals, so that could have been in her system. The man who picked Mandy up and took her to his house has outstanding warrants for violating a protective order issued on December 27th, 2023. He put a knife to someone's throat. The police did sit down with him and take his statement, but they said there was no need to investigate him because he came forward and was cooperative. Mandy's family and police do know who this man is, but in case he's completely innocent, we're gonna leave his name out for now. The police said they believed the man took her back to his place to drink, but the man said he never gave any alcohol to Mandy. So even by his own statement, they weren't going back to drink, and he will not speak to the family. They've tried communicating with him.
I mean,
from a legal standpoint, I understand it, that he doesn't want to get in trouble. But
and then it would never end. You know, they would never stop.
Because
they just want answers.
Exactly. They want answers and they're not getting enough.
Right.
It's also been revealed that his landlord is a police officer. And there's speculation that he's a police informant. But that's just hearsay at this point. Her family feels like because Mandy struggled with alcohol that they wrote her off as someone who doesn't matter. And this absolutely happens
in cases,
whether it be alcohol or drugs. The society as a whole tends to look differently at someone with an addiction or if they're found with something in their system. And they're not saying that her cause of death isn't from hypothermia, but they've got so many questions on how she got there to that point. Like, why did she go to this man's house? Did she go against her will? What was said between them? What made her leave his warm house through a window?
Right.
It just doesn't seem to add up. Like, it almost seems like she was running from something. Maybe he's totally innocent, but in my opinion, the police haven't done their due diligence.
It looks suspicious. Yeah, it's like, for sure.
It just explore all possible options, not just one. There is a Facebook group I'd like to plug. It's called Justice for Amanda Harms. I'll also add the link to our show notes. The family wants the OSBI to investigate this case, but the catch is it has to be requested by the Muskogee Police Department. So the family can't make the request straight to the OSBI.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate too, because they're like, no, it's fine. Nothing to see here.
You're waiting on another police department who doesn't want to seem like they can't do their job, so they're not gonna...
It's just really frustrating. I've been going through the Facebook group, reading every single comment I can. There's a lot of, why would she leave her house to get alcohol, which doesn't help anything. I don't understand alcohol addiction, and I can't even begin to understand it, but
I feel like that with Diet Coke.
It's
for
it's
real. Like,
that's not the point.
That's not the point. If you want something, you want it. Yeah. You're a grown up. Go get it. I mean, it's not.
And she probably didn't realize how cold it was.
No.
It's just one of those, I don't know. But there's a lot of that kind of thing. But then.
I hate when people leave nasty comments like that.
And her family's in there. So anyone joining the group, please be respectful. She has family members sure. who read these comments. Usually these kind of groups have family members in there. They just want everything looked at. And I kind of dug around on this guy. I know who he is. And he's definitely had some confrontations with women in the past.
Not good.
Don't
want to
say too much. He's not just a nice guy.
Right.
But yeah, that's the story of Amanda right now. And I'll keep you guys updated if anything happens. But I just really wanted to plug that story.
This has been Lacey's Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah, sorry for the really serious episode today, but...
No, it needs to be, like you said, it's time sensitive and it needs to be out there. Oh, man. Definitely keep us updated. I'm going to dive down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of this until you just told me about it. Oh, man.
And they've been very kind in terms of I'm asking them questions.
Yeah.
The group... The person who runs the group, and she's messaging me back. She's working closely with her mom. So
sad.
Mm-hmm. It's just all around sad. And you never really know who's struggling with something like that. She's married. She has kids. She's a teacher. You know, she seems like she's got it together. It's just
it's why you
anyone can
never know the battles
yeah, you really don't ever
fight
know.
Behind closed doors or how what kind of day somebody's having.
Yeah, that's period. So true. To lighten the mood, Samuel and I started watching Traitors, the first season.
Never seen
My friend talked me into it. He won't watch Love is Blind.
I know
Blind,
who it is.
But he watched that. So it's actually pretty interesting.
Never seen it.
It has reality stars on it.
Oh,
so,
boy.
A lot of them I don't know. I don't know what Big Brother is. I had to Google what Summer House was.
I've never seen either of those shows either.
There is, what's her name, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that... Her husband cheated on her with Leanne Rimes.
Brandy?
Yes, Brandy. She's on it.
Woof.
Yeah. But now that I'm caught up, well, at least to where you were last week, because now the finale episodes have aired, I totally understand what you mean about Chelsea. He went to a brewery for an hour for a birthday party.
Girl.
Oh, my God.
Now we're talking about Love is Blind.
Yeah, sorry. I put my hat over my face. I'm like, oh, God, this is what Ashley knew that I didn't know.
I watched the finale today.
Oh.
And let me tell you, twists and turns.
I'm going to do that later.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to give away any spoilers. But I felt personally attacked by Love is Blind Season 6.
Oh, my gosh.
It is...
I can't wait for the reunion.
No, I can't wait for the reunion either.
Amy needs to get roasted. And Sarah Seconds, aka Sarah Ann, continues to make these obnoxious TikToks. Girl, he's not a prize.
She's not a prize.
When AD told her like it was, oh my God, we all need a friend like AD. I was like clapping in the background.
But then also, I'll just say this.
I don't like Clay either.
To play the devil's yes. advocate, Laura, did you not just try to deliberately sabotage the relationship with Chelsea? You went and met Jess at a bar and told him, or told her, encouraged her to reach out to him.
I forgot about
and
that.
And said... When Jess said, do you think he wants to see me? Yeah, he wants to see you. You should come. You should come. And even when they showed up at the lake house, she was still being catty, pissy, mean girl. And then Sarah Ann showed up and then she – and I like Laura.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, you were the victim. And I'm like, turnabout's fair play.
Yeah.
It's coming back to you.
Yeah,
you,
don't encourage a friend to be messy.
And then you get pissed off when somebody's messy to you. Mm-hmm. It's a mess.
It's a whole mess.
I'm sick of all of you guys.
It's a whole mess.
So I need a new show to watch now. I binge everything as soon as it comes
out.
Try
Traitors on Peacock.
My housewives have ended. Good thing I have road trips planned. Maybe I should watch Traitors. I don't know. Social media went down yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Girl.
Well, I thought it was me forgetting my Facebook password because I don't freaking remember
any of them.
And I was like, oh, my God. I've lost it forever.
Same. I was like, oh, my God. My account was hacked. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know my passwords to anything.
Neither do I.
And then I was like, oh, my God, here goes Russia again.
Well, I got on TikTok, and I'm like, if something's wrong with Facebook, it's on TikTok, and it was. So.
Well, a guy I work with was like, sent me a link from Twitter and was like, everyone's Facebook
is down. Well,
luckily,
you were at work with other humans. I was just here alone, and
I was about to panic.
What's happening?
I literally screamed.
And Instagram wouldn't work either. I'm like, okay, what's going on?
And I had messaged people earlier in the day on Instagram, and suddenly everything's not working. I literally scream out of my little cubicle, my Facebook is down. Everyone check your phones. Freaking out. I was like, please tell me yours is not AT&T again. I'm like, damn it.
What's going on?
I'm telling you. It's setting us up for this apocalypse.
Oh, gosh. It probably is.
I mean, the eclipse.
Apocalypse.
Exactly. And Devil's Comet.
That's all I've watched. Oh, I started a series on Netflix called Behind Her Eyes. I just started it a couple episodes in. It's a little boring so far, but I've heard it's good, so we'll see.
No, if something's boring in the first 20
minutes,
you're just
out. I'm done.
Nope. Is that the blonde girl?
No.
What's that show? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh. It's a show. It's about a blonde girl, and she, like, uses it. It's kind of funny. She uses it to, like, her advantage.
No.
Like, she'll cut people and just be an asshole. And she's like, sorry, I'm blonde. I can't see.
Oh, my gosh. No. It's not funny. It's just like a procedural drama type thing. It's a British show.
No,
you're
God.
Just,
no.
You're just like, out.
Goodbye. Join us next week for more tales of wacky crimes
and criminals
to help you get through your week. Bye.
Bye.